Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Are you caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Kuecker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Kuecker, your senior care consultant. I really appreciate you being here today. We have an excellent program today in studio, Mr. Bruce Glenn. He's the CIO and owner of the Glenn Team Wealth Planning at Infinitas. And Bruce, welcome back to Senior Care Live.
Thanks, Steve. Glad to be here. You know, we had a great conversation last time, and I thought maybe we'd kind of pick up where we left off on the milestones of financial life. You know, last time we spoke of those times when you go from being in your first job to first home, children, you know, making that good wage and so on and so forth. And we kind of built up through till about Medicare age, age 65, but we did not finish on through with full retirement age, age 70 milestones, and age 72 in RMD. So I thought we might get into that a little bit today, if that's okay.
That sounds excellent. And I really enjoyed our last conversation. I thought that was just super helpful. So a lot of things that were kind of light bulb moments for me. So that was good. So so talking about retirement age, you know, and just in thinking about that, you hear all of these numbers. So, you know, 59 and a half, 62, 65. Now you're hearing 67, 68. What is retirement age? I mean, it sounds silly, but what is it?
Right. So it's a great question. So when people get their Social Security statement, and they used to send those out all the time. Now that's, you know, once every 5 years, unless you're over age 60. But anyway, you have three different numbers on that Social Security statement. One is what your Social Security estimate is at age 62, then what it is at full retirement age, and then what it is at age 70. So the full retirement age, if you're born after 1960, it's age 67. If you're born before 1960, it takes 2 months, shortens that by 2 months per year that you're sub-1960. But that is the age that you could actually still be working, turn Social Security on, and not worry about making too much money. So this year, for example, if you made over $19,562 and you had started Social Security before your full retirement age, they would penalize you 50 cents on the dollar for everything that you make above that.
Oh, wow.
It is important to, you know, not start Social Security before your full retirement age if you're planning on doing very much work.
So that makes it just about not worth it. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, right. I mean, if you're going to be a little bit over it, maybe it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But if you're still working your full career, it would kill you. I had one gentleman come to my office a while back, and he had been referred to me. And we sat down and got to talking about things. And he had just started Social Security the month before that. And he was like 64 years old and still working his full career. I said, stop, time out. Don't pass, go. Don't collect $200. Go straight to Social Security and stop that and explain it. And he was able to get it stopped because he had just started it.
But, okay.
Yeah, pretty big issue.
So once you start taking that, after a little bit, you probably can't undo it, right? I mean, you're just
right.
If you take it, you take it.
It used to be you could, and there's still a small window of time, but it used to be if you paid back all the money you'd received, you could go back and let that Social Security start cooking again or resume that. But they've cramped it down quite a bit from what they used to allow.
So 1960 or after, your full retirement age is 67.
Right.
And so if you take your retirement, your Social Security income at 65 or age 62, you can do that, mm-hmm. and it's going to be less than maybe if you wait longer, which is another question I have for you.
Right.
But so if you do that, and you can do that, but you're still working a job, and you're making, let's just say, let me make up a number, $50,000. I mean, you're still working, you're still generating about $50,000. Well, everything over, let me round it to $20,000, everything over that, in this example, $30,000, you're taxed 50%.
Right. Yeah, if you're under age 67 at that point, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wow. Ouch. Yeah, that is huge. That is huge. So I guarantee you, we turned a few heads on that one. So should people start their Social Security at their full retirement age, or should they have some considerations?
Yeah, well, absolutely. There are some things to consider. So let's assume you are 67 at this point. And, you know, you're thinking, well, I'm still working, but should I start Social Security or not? So the downside of starting Social Security is that you may miss out on that continual rise of 8% per year that you defer starting Social Security. But, you know, you'd also want to consider, you know, how healthy are you? What kind of longevity do you think that they'll be? You know, if you don't feel like you're very healthy, then maybe you want to start that a little bit sooner. And then what are your cash flow needs? Do you need the extra money or not? And another thing that's a huge consideration, that's where we do a lot of planning here, is that if you're too heavy in your pre-tax dollars, there might be some time frame and time window in there. And again, it's going to kind of, you know, be contingent on when you're going to quit working. But there might be some opportunity there to convert some of your money from pre-tax IRA or pre-tax 401k to an after-tax Roth. And we can explain that and talk about that a little bit further. But that can help potentially diffuse what I call kind of a little bit of a time bomb that could be ticking at age 72 when there's another milestone of an action you need to start taking called the required minimum distribution. And we'll get into that in just a little bit as well. But some folks more and more are starting to want to monetize some of that Social Security because, as you know, if you pass away, there is no residual benefit check there. Now, if a surviving spouse would be able to step up to the better of the two checks.
Yep.
But there's no monetary value of Social Security beyond that paycheck. So some folks may want to start that Social Security check, still work at 67 or older, and maybe invest that money. Or they might just want to, you know, gift it to charity or whatever the case might be. But there is some monetary value if they actually put that money in their pocket and do something productive with it.
Okay. And what's the latest that you can start taking your Social Security?
Right. So, you don't even have to start if you don't want to.
Oh, okay.
If you're independently wealthy, you don't have to take Social Security. But
okay.
Realistically, there's no value to waiting till past age 70.
70, okay.
Right, because it's not going to keep rising at that 8% guaranteed rise on that mm-hmm. paycheck past age 70. There's still cost of living adjustments and those type things, but the automatic raise every month that you're waiting to start it stops at age 70.
So I would imagine if you are in pretty good health, and let's say you have a job or a career or something that you do that generates you an income that pays your bills, and it makes sense, I think I would just keep. And guess what? A lot of people are a young 67, 68, 70 years old. I mean, they're in great shape. They're still working. They still have careers. And so I would imagine a lot of folks, myself included, I'll probably be working till I'm 70 because I enjoy what I do. I might be working longer than that, but I think if you're in good health, it would make sense to let that max out to 70 before taking it.
I agree. In a lot of situations, it is, especially for business owners like ourselves. We don't have any interest in selling our businesses, we want to keep active and keep
sure.
at it. Another thing that people need to consider as well, especially guys, we spoke about this in the past. On average, guys are more apt to die before their spouses. And
you know what I attribute that to?
They want to?
You know, I've had a lot of ladies say...
I've heard that joke anyway.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of ladies say, well, we live longer than you because we drive you crazy. And I'm like, no, leave me out of that one. But I say it's because we do dumb stuff when we're young.
Well, that's definitely true, too.
That shortens our lifespan a little bit.
Right. But always think about your family unit, though. Because you starting your Social Security, you know, especially the guys starting Social Security before the max check, and if the ladies are going to outlive us, then it might be an advantage to let that keep cooking so they have a better check to step up into if they weren't the bigger breadwinner and had the bigger check in the first place.
And that's what happened. My dad passed away, unfortunately. I still can't believe that. And so when it was time, my mom, his Social Security check would have been, it was larger than hers. So so she was able to, like you said, step up to that level. So.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So what is a Roth conversion?
Right. So that's something that, unfortunately, the term can get thrown around a little bit too easily. Some people think, oh, you should always do Roth, or you should always convert your Roth. So Roth conversion is the process of taking a bucket of pre-tax money, whether it's your pre-tax IRA or traditional IRA, or maybe it's your pre-tax 401k or 403b or other type of a tax shelter, and paying the taxes now on some or all of it, and converting that over to a tax-free benefit. But you need to think that through pretty carefully as far as if you're going to bump into a higher tax bracket. You also need to think about, am I going to be doing some gifting when I'm age 72? Maybe I don't need to convert all that over because there's some tricks to the trade we'll tell you in a little bit about age 72.
Okay. All right. So if this has caught your attention and you have questions, and I'll guarantee you that a lot of people do right now, I would invite you to reach out to Bruce Glenn, the Glenn Team Wealth Planning at Infinitas. Anywhere in the country, they can help you at 913-563-7327. The Glenn Team Wealth Planning at Infinitas, 913-563-7327. We'll have more with Bruce coming up here in just a little bit. But first, the Senior Care Live question of the week. Is there a financial deadline that people need to look out for and be aware of? Yes or no? What are your thoughts?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to SeniorCareLive.com. Now back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. Is there a financial deadline that people need to look out for and be aware of at age 72? Your answers are yes or no. And the answer is... yes. The answer is yes. And Bruce, why is that a yes?
Well, age 72 is when you're required to your first required minimum distribution. And you have a little bit of flexibility in that, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But there's a challenge in that if you have too much pre-tax money, then your required minimum distribution is going to be a pretty big number. And that's considered ordinary income. And with Medicare, they look at your income. They look at over a two-year, as you know very well with what you do, they look at over a two-year period of time. And so if you've got a big snowball of money that you're forced to take out at age 72, that could really mess up your Medicare premiums. Mm. And so a lot of people get really shocked and taken off balance with that.
Okay. All right. We are visiting today with Bruce Glenn with the Glenn Team Wealth Management at Infinitas. And if you want to reach out to Bruce and the excellent folks here in Kansas City, they can help you anywhere in the country at 913-563-7327. That's the Glenn Team Wealth Planning at Infinitas, 913-563-7327. All right. So, Bruce, before the break, we were talking about Roth conversion, and I think there was something else you wanted to talk about, this five-year rule.
Right. So, and part of that age 72, way you can diffuse that is you can convert some of your pre-tax money to Roth, in which case it wouldn't be forced out at age 72. The consideration there is anytime that you do a conversion or anytime you start a Roth account, you need to realize that there's what they call the first dollar in rule. So when the first day you put a dollar in that account, starts a five-year clock.
Hmm.
And so if you take that money out before 5 years, then you blow up some of the advantages you get.
Ah.
So there's kind of a five-year rule once you start that account, let it kind of nurture. And again, I'm at age 72, you know, the way to help diffuse that a little bit is maybe you want to be have some of your money put in as a Roth contribution if your 401k allows that. And that way you've got choices, you know, some pre-tax and some after-tax.
That sounds excellent. And if this sounds confusing, guess what? That's because it is. Right? And so, Bruce, I'm glad that you know what you're talking about. So let me just remind our listeners to call 913-563-7327. And, Bruce, if someone's listening and they're not sure what they have, maybe they want a look, maybe they want a second opinion, maybe they want to consider moving some of their investments or possibly working with you, do you talk to people in that situation?
Yeah, absolutely. We do complimentary second opinions,
okay,
and review of what folks have going on and do a complimentary retirement plan for them and make sure they're on path for their goals to be achieved. And if not, this have a conversation about what we need to do to tweak that. Do we need to save more, consider spending less, working longer, maybe some of those tax advantages where maybe convert some money in some gap years between your working years and your Social Security starts. There's a lot of things we can do that can make a huge difference over the matter of 10, 20, 30, 40 years in the future into retirement. So it's never too late to start planning, but it's the sooner the better.
Absolutely. All right. So why is age 70 such an important age?
Right. So age 70, I think it's important because, first of all, you make that that health, hey, I made it to 70.
Yeah, yeah.
Champagne and fireballs, right?
Yeah.
But age 70 is the point that Social Security will no longer have that automatic rise as far as your 8% deferred.
And that's the max.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So I really stress that if you're getting close to 70 and you have not started your Social Security, you really need to go ahead and get that started. Even if you don't think you need it, I would definitely get it started. Unless you just want to have the government hang on to the money for you, and you can do that.
Yep. Okay. All right. And then I would be remiss if I didn't mention that this year, one of the highest cost of living adjustments for Social Security ever, and I think in the about 40 years ago, maybe it's similar, but 8.7% increase for Social Security recipients.
Right, going back to the early 80s when inflation was even higher than it is now.
Yep.
But it's been an awful long time since we've seen this kind of a cost of living adjustment. So that is a big help for folks that are on that Social Security fixed income. It is going to have a pretty good rise next year. So that's good news.
Yeah, that's excellent. And I don't think it's any coincidence that, you know, it was another huge increase back when the inflation was super, super high as well. So, and what is it? 8.2, I think, right now.
Inflation right now?
Yeah.
Right, it is. You know, it's kind of funny. It's actually, and the market has its expectations when these inflation numbers come out. And if the inflation numbers where they want it to be at, the market's happy. If it's not, then the market's not happy. And in September, the market was expecting 8.1%. And it came in at 8.3. It's only missed by 0.2%. But at that point, it was the fourth straight month in a row that it had improved. Not a lot, but it had improved four straight months in a row. But it missed by 0.2, and the market just didn't like it. And actually, the end of September was what I consider a double bottom. We had a bottom in June, and then we kind of revisit that bottom here at the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that's the bottom, you know, the double bottom, and hopefully we're going to be moving on forward from here. Recently, it has been better. And then last week, the number for September came in at 8.2, but it was expecting 8.1.
Ah.
So again, it missed, but it didn't miss by very much. Well, it was close enough the market actually liked that. So it's kind of confusing between what the number really is and what the Wall Street market is expecting.
Yep.
And that causes that volatility.
Yep, absolutely. So what is an RMD?
Right. So the RMD is a required minimum distribution. And this has changed. It changed during COVID. So it used to be at age 70 and a half, you had to start taking some of your money out. It starts around 3.6% range, but it's a time-bound, age-bound formula. And it depends on how much money you had in your pre-tax bucket at the end of the prior year. They changed that to now you don't have to start doing this till age 72. But in the first year that you hit that number, you don't have to take it when you turn 72. You can defer it till April 1st the following year. But you got to be careful about that, because if you don't take it in the year you first turn 72 and you wait till next year, you're actually taking two RMDs in the same year. So you need to kind of think, am I working still at age 72? But maybe I'm not going to be working at 73. So maybe you would want to defer it. Otherwise, they normally say, go ahead and take it in the year that it hits you. Again, give or take those different things that you may have going on in your own personal wealth situation. But Yeah, that is very important time frame.
Okay, and then any potential tricks or treats to help with that RMD mandate?
Yeah, good point there being October. So, you know, the Medicare takes a two-year look back, so that's kind of the trick of that. You want to make sure you don't have any more income that you have to have and not kick you into a higher Medicare premium price than you really want to afford there. But some of the treats or some things you can do, again, you can pre-plan, or you might be able to convert some Roth, pre-tax Roth to kind of diffuse that required minimum distribution a little bit. But you can actually take that money if you want to, if you're charitable and you're gifting anyway to a non-for-profit 501c3, you can take that required minimum distribution out of your pre-tax money and have it go directly, and I say directly, to the non-for-profit. If you don't take possession of that money, you never actually received income. But yet you did satisfy the government's requirement to move that money out of that tax shelter.
Ah.
So, you know, and nonprofit doesn't pay taxes. So that's a great opportunity right there for that charity to get a tax-free, you know, gift there and help you out too.
That is excellent. Reach out to Bruce Glenn, the Glenn Team Wealth Planning at Infinitas at 913-563-7327. And Bruce has all of the answers, offering a complimentary review. I would definitely take him up on that. 913-563-7327. And Bruce, thanks so much for being here today. This is complicated stuff, and I'm really glad that you understand all of it.
Thanks, Steve. My pleasure.
All right. We'll have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For podcasts of the program, go to SeniorCareLive.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so it is that time of year again, and you're like, what? Like close to Halloween or fall? And well, yeah, all of that stuff, plus Medicare open enrollment. And I think technically you're supposed to call it the annual enrollment period, AEP, but I just call it open enrollment because that's what I like to call it. So how about that? But anyway, that is every single year, October the 15th. So we're already there, obviously. And that goes through December the 7th. So that is your window to review your Medicare plans, maybe consider changing from one plan to another. There are all sorts of if and then and gotchas and all of that stuff. So I always recommend talk to a Medicare broker that can represent all of your different options to make sure that you're getting a look at everything available to you. And so, for example, I think my mom is going to keep her Medicare supplement plan in place. It's a great plan. It's affordable. It covers just about everything. It's a plan N, as in Nancy. And that's a Medicare supplement plan pays that 20% that Part B does not pay for, right? So that's why you want a Medicare supplement plan to tie into Part B. And then we're going to take a look and review her Part D, her prescription drug coverage. And I'm pretty sure that we could probably do a little bit better. They're going to raise the premiums up quite a bit on her. They're changing the formularies. So we're going to take a look at all of that stuff and make some changes to where it's a better plan for her. And again, every single year, if you're a Medicare recipient, October the 15th through December the 7th, is that annual election period, otherwise known as Medicare open enrollment, and that is your opportunity to take a look and make some changes or not. That's your option. And then if you do make changes, like I'm pretty sure we're going to change my mom's Part D coverage, then those changes are effective January the 1st, and then that plan will then be with you for that entire year. If you are a procrastinator, and you put this stuff off till tomorrow, and then tomorrow ends up being December the 8th, you are too late, and you will be kind of stuck with whatever coverage you had this year. That's the coverage you'll have for next year. Now, I'm going to have a couple of different Medicare experts on the program for you here in the next few weeks. And one of my questions to them will be, are there any exceptions to the rule of only being able to change your coverage that one time per year? And I do know that there are some exceptions. So we'll talk to them about that. But again, just wanted to give you a little bit of a heads up and a teaser, again, that I'll be having a couple of different Medicare experts in studio to talk about everything you ever wanted to know about Medicare and your options and what plan is right for you. All right, let's get right after it.
And now, Senior Care in the News. A news report from Steve Kuecker, president of Senior Care Consulting.
Okay, so this is from McKnight Senior Living, and they put out an electronic blast with a ton of news multiple times per week. This is from McKnight Senior Living, October the 18th. Staffing shortages ease for skilled nursing facilities, but they're not out of the woods yet. And so, first of all, when I read that, I'm like, I don't know of any shortages that are easing. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? But it went on to say skilled nursing properties reporting shortages of nursing staff dropped from 28% January, okay, to 21% in September. So that's a big drop in 9 months. And that's according to the National Investment Center for Senior Housing and Care. And also it said the shortage of aides, so that would be certified nurse aides and certified medication aides or CMTs, certified medication techs, dropped from 30% to 22% over that same time period. It said, however, the shortage is still considered severe. So I was encouraged to read that, but gosh, every single place that I talk to, every single person that I speak with, things are getting a little bit better, but we're nowhere close to what we were pre-COVID. So one of the indicators that I see when I go out and tour with my clients, tour these communities with Senior Care Consulting, I ask a lot of questions that most people wouldn't even know to ask while we're there gathering our information and seeing the place and meeting some people. And one of the questions I ask is, you know, do you use temporary nursing agency for staffing? So before COVID, March 2020, most places had a sufficient pool of staffing that they could pull from if someone called in sick or had jury duty or whatever, that they didn't need to depend on a temporary staffing agency to bring in a staff person. Well, then COVID hit and all hell broke loose, right? The world blew up. People were testing positive and they couldn't come back into the building for 14 days. And if you had a staff or two or three, all of a sudden with no notice, boom, they're out of your building for, 14 full days, 2 full weeks. And then you have staffing that's starting to become a little bit of a shortfall. You had to start reaching out to these temporary nursing agencies and bringing in the super expensive temp to work on the floor. They didn't know your residence, et cetera, but at least they were there. So the thing that I'm seeing now is that a lot of senior care communities that I'm going into, they no longer have to depend on and use temporary staffing agencies for their staffing. So it does seem to be better, but I'll just tell you, we're not out of the woods and there's still a major shortage. And, I know my wife, she's a registered nurse at a busy family practice group. And, they don't have enough backup nurses. They can't seem to hire enough office staff for the front office. It's just incredible to me that, so many people today are a no-call, no-show for interviews. It is just crazy. So I think we have a societal thing going on along with a genuine shortage, and that's just crunch time for so many businesses, including healthcare and more specifically senior-related healthcare. All right, another report from McKnight Senior Living, October 13th, aggressive rate increases needed in long-term care. And I'm like, oh, lordy, don't too aggressively increase those things. They're already unaffordable. But it says, due to increased debt costs and other inflationary-related pressures, rate increases in long-term care are inevitable. And this individual, Evans Senior Investments Director Chris Lowe's, said he called for operations to aggressively raise their rates. And then I would just add that along with inflation, literally every single thing has gone up in the world of senior care. You know, just like our groceries, our personal groceries, our heating bills, our debt payments, et cetera, the cost of every single thing in the entire world is going up, including at all of these senior care communities. And then there's another major issue that's driving up the cost, and that is the cost of labor. And remember, probably a couple of weeks ago, I referred to this, that, you know, they have to pay more for labor because, you know, because of the shortage and the average hourly costs for, and I was talking about home care at that point. You used to be able to hire a quality home care agency to have someone come into your home and help you around your house at $25 an hour or so, maybe $28. Now it just instantly popped up to $35 to $40 an hour. That is due to one thing and one thing only, and their cost increased, and that is related to having to pay the staff a lot more to get reliable quality staff that they want representing, you know, their business and coming into your home and doing a good job and all the things. So that staff cost increase is driving all of this, and that is a major driver of it. Right. And it's the same labor pool that physician practices and hospitals and nursing homes, assisted living communities, et cetera. They all have to compete within that same labor pool. So the rates are going up. Gas is going up. The cost of food is going up. The taxes are going up. The cost to heat the building is going up. And the question is, where will all of this end? I have no idea. And coming up next, I'm going to visit with you about memory care. You don't want to miss it.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more coming up.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. All right. So I want to talk about memory care. It is sometimes it's a very confusing term. I think sometimes, I know many times it is used, that term memory care is used inappropriately. And I think sometimes it's intentionally used to mislead. So, remember the mission of the program: to provide information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And I want to talk about this. I think I've referenced it before, but let's talk about memory care. So, what is memory care? So, for the purpose of this conversation, we will limit memory care to memory care that is provided in a senior care community. That could be at any level: residential care, assisted living, home plus, and long-term care. So, to be clear, every single senior care community in the United States of America provides memory care. So if they say that, they would be correct. And what that means is in every single senior care community around the country, you will have at least a number of residents with at least some mild cognitive impairment. Pleasantly confused. Okay, and that's okay. That's okay. They get along just fine. You may not even know for a while or recognize that there is a memory challenge with a particular person. So all of these different communities can, and they do, provide care and support and assistance for individuals with mild cognitive impairment, some of these memory challenges. So that's why every single one of them said, oh, yeah, yeah, we provide memory care. But what they may not, and they may tell you, but many times they may not tell you that they have their limits. They have their limitations. So the big, huge warning here is that if your loved one has memory challenges, let's say early signs and symptoms of dementia, the bad news is that's not going to improve. You can take some of these medications and may slow the progression, but it's never going to turn around. You don't get your memory back, unfortunately. Now, I do believe sometime in my lifetime that they will get this figured out. Huge breakthroughs in the area of Alzheimer's disease research. Maybe I'll have an expert on the program sometime to share some of these updates. They're jaw-dropping. They're very, very exciting. But the fact is, if you move into, say, assisted living or wherever it is, and you have early signs and symptoms of dementia, pleasantly confused, then if you live there over a period of time, you will start to decline, and some of these symptoms may start to escalate. So all of these places have their threshold, if you will, for helping someone live successfully at the residential care level of care, assisted living level of care, home plus level of care, and long-term care, also known as nursing home level of care, because you can have memory care in all of the licensed levels of care, every single one of them. Memory care is not a place and it is not a level of care. There's no licensure for memory care, okay? It is a type of care, a special type of care for residents with cognitive impairment that could be found at all of the different levels of care. So the warning here is that unless you're ready to move your loved one out of the place that you're in or you're considering to another place, do yourself a giant favor and do a little investigation. This is why so many people contact Senior Care Consulting, so that they want to make sure they don't make a mistake here. But I would make sure that the place you're considering has a designated or a separate or a secured memory care unit or a memory care neighborhood. Okay, and what that is it is a portion of the building that is, it's separated. So you've got walls and you have doors, and this is a locked or secured unit. That's because it's very common for someone with dementia or one of the many forms of dementia. It's very common at some point on that decline, and everyone's different, but at some point on that decline, it's very common for someone to begin to wander, not wander, but wander. So walk around, cruising around. You're not trying to cause any troubles, but you look outside and you're like, oh, I wonder what's going on out there, right? And so you walk outside. It's 0 degrees. It's 100 degrees. There's traffic coming from both ways, four lanes. And you don't understand, because you have dementia, you don't understand these are bad things. So they have to protect you from yourself and make sure that you're in a locked or a secured part of the building, so that you can't just walk outside and unintentionally place yourself in harm's way. That's a big, 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 huge deal. So if your loved one is in a place that does not have the separate secured area or part of the building, a memory care neighborhood, if they don't have that and your loved one starts wandering and the front doors are unlocked and wide open and anybody can come and go, guess what? About the first or second time your loved one walks outside and places themselves in harm's way, you're going to get a call. Well, you get a call the first time. They may or may not let your loved one stay there. The second time, you're going to get a discharge notice. And you might get it on the first one, right? Because they can no longer guarantee their safety. But if there's a memory care unit or neighborhood, guess what? They just transitioned from one part of the building providing general care back to the memory care neighborhood. So they've got codes on the doors. It's not a prison. You can leave the area. You just need to be accompanied for your own safety and security and well-being. So you've got codes on the doors. It's a smaller space, and it's smaller on purpose, because another major issue with dementia, and one of the many forms that all the forms of dementia, is it's at some point, again, at some point on this decline, it's pretty common to become overstimulated and it's pretty easy to become overstimulated. So it's a smaller space. A 30-foot-long hallway is easier to deal with than a 130-foot-long hallway. 20 residents in the area, easier to deal with than 120 residents. You get the idea. So less stimulation, fewer residents, activity programming. You have more activities for shorter time frames, shorter periods of time. You generally have more staffing, and they're generally speaking, most memory care units or neighborhoods, that staff has some special Alzheimer's and dementia training. Some training programs are really specific and incredible, like the TIPA Snow Dementia Training Program. There are others as well. And so they expect to have to redirect an individual who's trying to get out. They expect sundowning. They expect all of these issues that are associated with having dementia, one of the many forms of dementia. So memory care is a type of care that is offered at all of the different levels of care. And I just really wanted to touch on that today. If you have questions about that, reach out to me at Senior Care Consulting at 913-945-2800. I'd be happy to answer your questions. If you need placement assistance, we can help you with that as well. All right, I'm Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here on Senior Care Live.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.